according to the schedule, and this session will last until 9 o'clock. We will see how long we will last. I'm going to divide into three different things. First, we'll do another about 15 minutes meditation on the same purpose to see how we perceive our I identity. Start with the brief single-pointed meditation, you know, the shamatha meditation. And when your mind is stable and clear enough, then gently turn into more observation, and not really, as I would say, analysis, but simply observing how our sense of identity, I, is perceived under any kind of circumstances. So that will part altogether about 15 minutes. Then I will read few paragraphs from the previous reading to build for tomorrow's. Then we will see if there are one or two questions, many questions, but one or two questions. Then we will conclude the day with the Tara prayers, recitation, and some dedications. So that's how we are going to dedicate this last session, for today's last session. So first, let us start 15 minutes meditation. this kind of meditation, searching or observing how we perceive our identity, our sense of I, you know, the not just feeling of I, but how we perceive that I in that feeling, in that, you know, the experience, how we perceive that I, ideally should be done in a more, you know, the daily, while we are carrying on daily activities, we'll have more chance, more opportunities, you know, to observe. Because while we are sitting on a comfortable meditation cushion, unless if we provoke to think, why these birds keep singing, I want to meditate. You know, in that situation, that I want to meditate, how you perceive that I. Otherwise, sometimes that there's a challenge to do that kind of observation. And that's why traditionally, you know, although I have never experienced that, but in Tibet, when these great teachers, you know, they teach in a month on the, you know, the Lhasa Lamrim, and when they reach in this kind of section, they keep 1 or 2 days, you know, free, and ask the, you know, the students to go and search your eye. You know, there's that kind of, I was told that kind of tradition, although I never had that experience. You know, quite often, you know, there's some serious practitioner will go for a place where they are a little bit threatened to their life, you know, and to see how they perceive our sense, their sense of I under that situation, under that circumstances. And I think that is really something important for us to start. And we will see later, Jason Kaba clearly stated, you know, in terms of the two realizations, two understanding, the understanding of selflessness of the person and understanding the selflessness of the phenomena, between those two understandings, in terms of the sequence, which one will sort of cultivate first, he clearly stated understanding of selflessness of person will occur first, or, you know, a serious practitioner will sort of approach to that instead of understanding of selflessness of phenomena or emptiness of phenomena. And if that is the case, you know, if a practitioner, that he or she, his or her understanding of emptiness and you know, first will occur, you know, the relation to the I, relation to the self, then this procedure, this process must be take place. Otherwise, the practitioner will struggle to identify self-grasping of the person, you know, the self-grasping of the person. In order to understand, you know, as selflessness of the person, the practitioner must understand self-grasping of the person. And am I saying, in order to understand selflessness of the person, the person must understand self-grasping of the person. You know, in order to understand the self-grasping of the person must understand that self-grasping of person relation to the self. How the self-grasping of person, you know, perceive the self. And in order to do that, he or she must you know, have the clear picture how he or she perceived or how his or her mind perceived the self, the I. Otherwise, difficult to say, you know, that is self-grasping or person, you know, without knowing the identifying the self.
Yes.
And that is the what I can see, the some kind of sequence, some kind of structure or procedure. And that's why I think this one, and also in the text, how it's structured, you know, the how it's structured, it is very much structured in that fashion, you know. So therefore, you know, for us, serious practitioner to make progress in the understanding of selflessness, of first of all, say the understanding of emptiness. Understanding of emptiness is the, you know, the general term, but then that will narrow down to say understanding of emptiness relation to the I, and the understanding of emptiness relation to the other than I, that the technical called phenomena. And as I just said, for according to the Tsongkhapa, you know, between these two understandings, the understanding of emptiness relation to the I will, you know, start first, then the understanding of emptiness relation to the phenomena will follow. Although, in terms of the two graspings, the grasping or self-grasping of the person and self-grasping of the phenomena, might be too much blah blah, but I will just say, then I will move. You know, the out of the two graspings, self-grasping of the person, self-graspings of the phenomena, in terms of the sequence of their occurring, it is said completely other around. You know, self-grasping of the phenomena will occur, that will trigger to have self-grasping of person. In terms of the two self-graspings. So self-grasping of phenomena will arise first, that will trigger to self-grasping of person. In terms of the realization of and to selflessness is concerned, then the order is other way around. You know, the other way around, emptiness of the person, understanding of emptiness of the person will come first, or practitioner will go for that first, then the understanding of emptiness of the phenomena will follow. So that is something in it, which Tsongkhapa gave quite good reasons why, you know, the selflessness of the person, understanding of selflessness of the person will, you know, the sort of serious practitioner will go first instead of the understanding of selflessness of the phenomena, and that we will, you know, see sometime later in our reading. Okay, now the going to this. Now, do you remember earlier when I was reading the page 5, that big paragraph that in the middle of that page, the translator used the term a referent object of. And I said, instead of referent, I said, I would like to use, the object of grasping. So this is now relevant now, at this stage, we need to talk a little bit here. This is very much what I'm going to say now. It is very much common Buddhist, the presentation relation to the, you know, the mind and their objects. You know, minds and their objects. It is not precisely just here what I'm going to say. You know, it is very general, common presentation. When we talk about mind or the consciousness, I mean here I will use the mind, you know, the and its object. So the mind and its object. And when we talk about its object, you know, any kind of mind, its object, then we need to think about several different, you know, under that term object, we need to think about several different, you know, the explanation of the object of the mind, object of the mind. And some of you, I'm sure, know very clearly, but it is relevant here. I'm going to say a little bit in here. So now, I'm going to say first in Tibetan. Migyul in Tibetan. And I usually translate that a referent object. Migyul, I usually translate that as a referent object. Yeah, referent object. Then Shenyul, or yeah, Shenyul. I usually translate that as a object of grasping. Object of grasping. That's Shenyul. And then there's a third one which is called Nangyul, which is commonly translated appearing object. Appearing object. Yeah, appearing object. So think about those three. When we say mind and its object, when it comes to its object, then there is a referent object. Then there is a object of grasping. Then there is a appearing object. These are very, you know, my translation, which I, you know, use. Stick with that. Now, come back to self-grasping. First of all, self-grasping. You know, self-grasping. Self-grasping, you know, is a mind. Is a distorted mind. You know, in Tibetan, lokshe. You know, lokshe. Sometimes translated saying wrong mind or mistaken mind. But there are, you know, in Tibetan, another mind that in the Buddhist, you know, tulshe. Lokshe and Tulshe, two different minds, which both are mistaken. One is serious mistaken, one is less serious mistaken. That's the problem here. When we say Lokshe in Tibetan, in the Buddhist epistemology, Lokshe, that means, you know, that it is mistaken relation to its referent object. Okay, I'll say that. When we say lokshe in Tibetan, so I will translate here as a mistaken mind. Lokshe, mistaken mind. When we say mistaken mind, in this case, lokshe, it is mistaken regard relation to It's a referent object. It's a referent object. When we say tulshe, then I don't know how to translate.
They often translate tulshe as mistaken mind and lokshe as wrong mind.
Wrong mind, okay. Now then we'll change.
Sorry.
okay, we'll say that. So we'll translate the first one. The mind which is mistaken to relation to its referent object is lokshe, wrong mind. Then the mind which is not mistaken to its referent object, but it is mistaken to its appearing object, it's called tulshe. But both are mistaken. One is more serious, one is less serious. More serious in the sense of, wrong mind, in the sense of it is mistaken to its principal object, which is the referent object. When the mind is not mistaken regarding to its referent object, but it is mistaken to its appearing object, it is less sort of serious in terms of that mistake. Now I'll leave the second one, appearing object. I'm not going to go there today. Now focus on the first two, the referent object. So the self-grasping, now that is the general term, Dangzin, Denzin in Tibetan, self-grasping, true grasping, all those terms. Now, bring down to the more closer, the self-grasping of person. That is, self-grasping of person is wrong mind. That serious mistaken mind. Self-grasping person is the wrong mind. So that means it is mistaken regarding to its referent object. Self-grasping of person is the wrong mind, so that means it is mistaken to it regarding to its referent object. So now here is, what is the self-grasping of the person's referent object? And that is now the serious searching. What is the referent object of the self-grasping? Which self-grasping is mistaken? Yeah? That is self-grasping, now in this process, in the process of self-grasping of the person, which is mistaken regarding to its referent object, that mistaken aspect is called grasping object. Do you remember that mistaken aspect? So there are two objects. Now in the self-grasping of the person has two objects. It's a referent object. It's an object of grasping. So object of grasping, I don't know whether that fit or not. I will use this one here. I will use it. The object of grasping. So the referent object. Now, this is a very important one. Self-grasping of the persons, its referent object is self, person, or the individual. I'll repeat that. Self-grasping of the person, its referent object is person, individual, I, or the self. Self, not that inherent existent self as that pronoun. Okay? Self-grasping. It's a referent object. That means self-grasping of the persons, as far as it's a referent object is concerned, it does exist. Because it is the person, it is the individual, it's a referent object. What does not exist is its object of grasping does not exist. Now, what is that object of grasping? And that we read earlier, that is the inherent existent. Self, I, or the person exist inherently, that is its grasping object. That does not exist. Okay, I'll repeat that bit. Now, the first self, and the referent object of the self-grasping of the person does exist, and that is the I, self, person, individual. And that's why we are meditating, to search how we perceive the I, the self. Yeah? Now, the self-graspings of the persons, its object of grasping is concerned, does not exist. Therefore, it is saying, the wrong mind, lokshet. Now, think, leave it there, taking one example. Thinking an object. Say the nice vase, a nice vase. And that mind, its referent object is the vase. Its object of grasping is beautiful. Looking at a nice vase, flower vase or whatever, and thinking how nice. So it has two. The vase is its referent object. The nice is its object of grasping. Nice, it's its object of grasping. I'm not saying there's no nice vase. I'm sure there are many nice vases, but simply take an example. Now take that example to here, self-grasping of person. To the self-grasping of person. The I, or the self, or the person is the referent object of the self-grasping of the person. Using this I as the referent object, what that grasping is thinking about, it is thinking there is some kind of essence, some kind of, some sort of entity within it as an I. That is the object of grasping. That does not exist. It's not saying that grasping is not exist. The manner of how it grasped that there's some kind of entity in there as an I, that entity does not exist. That is the grasp in a object of grasping, Shen Yul. Yeah. All the wrong mind falls into that kind of category. Wrong mind. All the wrong mind falls into that kind of category. Its grasping object does not exist. All the wrong mind. That's called wrong mind. Lokshe. Lokpe sheba. Rangi. Shinyolo tuba. So, now, I hope that is, we will come back that again, and if we need further in explanation, interpretation. Now, look at the text that we are going to read here now. Tenzin ni mikbe chepar. Oh yeah. It is now on page 5. So what we have seen page 5, middle of page 5, that the quotation from Chandakirti, just above that, which we read before our the afternoon first session, end of the first session, the self-grasping of the selflessness of the person and the selflessness of the phenomena. And now here, Jetsun Kaba make this quotation to support what he has said. And this is from the Chandakirti's commentary on Aryadeva's 400 stanzas. So this one is again very, very nice, brief explanation of what is self, what is inherent existence, what is intrinsic existence, what is that true ultimate, which really in the Madhyamika school masters, and particularly in this case Chandakirti and Buddha Palita rejects. And here, that's what here, this few lines, which is nicely explained. Concerning that self, now this self is not referring to the self as I, or the person, or the individual. This self is referring to, earlier that we saw, called self or inherent existence. That's referring to that self. So concerning that self is an entity of things that does not depend on others. So that is here in these short lines. It says, is an entity of things that does not depend on others. Now just briefly pause here, Earlier I said, self-grasping of person, it's using the I or the self or the person as a referent object, and then believing the I exists as some kind of entity, some kind of essence, entity. And that's what here it's saying. Entity of things that does not depend on others. Just look at that. And self-grasping of the person with regard to the I, the person, and believing the person, the I, there's some kind of entity or some kind of essence, that does not depend on others. That kind of belief. And that kind of belief is called self-grasping or person. So here it says, does not depend on others. And this word is very important. Does not depend on others. That goes with this self, inherent, against, opposite to inherent, does not depend, is same meaning as self, inherent, intrinsic, ultimate. All these have the same meaning. Things that does not depend on others. And then dash, it says inherent existence or intrinsic existence or true existence. All those terms can be applied here. Its non-existent is self. Now it's very simple. Selflessness. Its non-existent is selflessness. So just think about, just look at these 1.5 lines. It really clearly captures the meaning of selflessness. What is the self-grasping? And what is, selflessness? So it says, its non-existent, it refers to inherent existence, or earlier, the entity of things that does not depend on other. That non-existent of that relation to the I or relation to the whatever is called selflessness. Selflessness. So really slowly read that and think. And that's very, very clear. Through the division of phenomena and persons, it is understood as twofold, as selflessness of the phenomena and the selflessness of the persons. So this is really, Jitsongkhapa is quoting to support what he said in the previous paragraph. And this comes from, Chandrakirti's. So here what we can see, and also we will see more detail later, for Chandrakirti, the selflessness of the person and the selflessness of the phenomena is simply explained regarding to the referent object. If the referent object is person, and that is selflessness of the person. If the referent object is other than the person, then it is the selflessness of the phenomena. As far as what is empty of is concerned, no difference. You can see from this quotation. Also, we will come a little bit later. Okay. Now then, here one small thing that we need to. It is not that important, but it has say like this. Not that important, but useful to know while we are in this. So far, what we have said? We have said self-grasping of person and self-grasping of phenomena. Now, this self-grasping of person, sometimes there is a term which comes cross in the Chandrakirti's text, also in the other texts, called in Tibetan Jigda. And it is translated in here saying a view of transitory. That is, here you can see, the view of the transitory. The view of the transitory, it is, we can look at this view of the transitory and the self-grasping of the person. Leave the self-grasping of the phenomena for the time being. You know, just look at these two. View of the transitory, citta, and self-grasping of person. Now, self-grasping of, so we already had that discussion. Then what is a view of the transitory, citta? It is a self-grasping of person. It is a self-grasping of person, but it is explained in a quite different way. It is explained saying the jikta in Tibetan, jiksola tawa, viewing the I or the self or the person relation to transitory aggregates. The five aggregates from form to consciousness. Or in other words, mind and body, body and mind. If we use the modern Western term, mind and body, where the I or the self or the person is designated, labeled on this mind and body, in the Buddhist term, the five aggregates, five heaps, there are different translations, five heaps or five aggregates. Sometimes these five aggregates has a very good meaning, if we understand the aggregates, meaning of aggregates, form aggregate, feeling aggregate, compositional aggregate, the consciousness aggregate. Aggregate itself give us some of the meaning of, the emptiness, selflessness. Because the term aggregate, it indicates it's not unitary. Form is not unitary. Feeling is not unitary. It is in a composition of many things when you say the aggregates. That's not our main task today. So the view of transitory, jigsaw tari hundu laneba, zamo kyotoyu, tadago. So there are this term, this kind of the term used by Chandrakirti in the introduction to Middle Way, this view of transitory. What is talking about here is the view of transitory, seeing the I, the perceiving the I, the self, the person, relation to where it is labeled on, it is labeled on these five aggregates themselves are transitory nature, not static, not unitary, themselves are transitory nature. So based on this transitory five aggregates, then the how the I or the self or the individual is perceived. In this case, wrongly perceived. And that is called view of transitory. Okay? And there's a little bit of debate, what's the difference between those two? Self-grasping of the person and the view of the transitory. If both are, the referent object is the self or the individual and have the same manner of grasping as some kind of entity, as I, from its, as an independent, then what's the difference between those two? A view of the transitory and the self-grasping of the person. And that is some certain extent, it is more semantic arguments. Argument. But there are some good arguments behind that, which I'll not go. You know, which I'll not go. But and that is the section that we are now, where we are reading in this. Nevertheless, just to make a conclusion in here, you know, the view of the transitory is explained in a two manner, which is quite nice to say here. Two manners. In Tibetan, Nganzin Jigda. First I will say in Tibetan, Nganzin Jigda and Ngayuwa Zimbi Jigda. Nganzin Jigda, that means a view of the transitory, as a view of the transitory as an eye, and the view of the transitory as a mind. Mind, you know, possession, mind. The view of the transitory as I, Manjin Chitta, and the view of the transitory of mind. However, both view of the transitory of I, view of the transitory of mind, both the referent object is concerned, both are person, I, not mine, my eyes, my bodies, my like that. Just it is a mine. I think it is in debating yard we can debate a lot, but we don't get any further apart from, you know, going round and round. But that is what view of the transitory, both view of the transitory of I, view of the transitory of mine, the referent object is concerned, both, you know, it is person or the I or the self. So that is really more like, another debate, which is, I will not read this section, another debate is this. If there are two self-grasping of person, both are self-grasping of person, that self-grasping of person, and the view of the transitory, then isn't there two root of samsara? View of the transitory is also self-grasping, you know, is in there too. Then the answer is no. Because how they grasp, how they mistaken relation to the I is exactly the same. View of the transitory, how that view mistaken relation to its referent object, which is I, and self-grasping of the person, which, you know, it mistakes with regard to its referent object, which is the I, you know, is concerned, you know, no. There's no different sort of mistaken element. Both are same mistaken element. So that is another argument. If you read, you will see that section. Okay, now. I think now that is I'll briefly touch on, I will not go any detail. Now then, if the self-grasping of the persons, its referent object is concerned, if that is the I, that's the self or the person, is its referent object, which does exist, do you remember? Which does exist. Now then, you know, what kind of person that you are going to say that's the referent object of the self-grasping or person, which does exist. And in that, then within the Buddhist philosophical schools, they come very different presentation. Some say this, some say that, some say this. And that's what we are going to read tomorrow. And that's really relevant to also your meditation, the afternoon meditation. I'm not going to suggest you immediately tomorrow afternoon you put your sense of I into one of that pocket. You know, I'm not going to suggest that. For the time being, simply do the, you know, simple observation. To really, as I said, it will take time, maybe months, to get a clear picture how we perceive our I, or the self, or the person. You know, in our routine activities, or in a particular event, you know, the when we are in a, you know, difficult time, or while we are in a high, happy time, those are the time, also good time to do the observation. Because those times, then I will stand up quite clearly. You know, when we are, you know, when we receive a doctor's, you know, writing, oh, what's that? You know, and then those are the time we'll see, we have the great opportunity to observe how we perceive the I in relation to this mind and body, where it is labeled, you know, where it's labeled. So that is really, tomorrow we are going to read this part. And also there is a nice explanation in the Essence of True Eloquence. That's also I'm going to bring tomorrow. One or two questions? Yes. You.
In terms of trying to find object of negation, I was asking us to look at the sense of I, or how we, you know, what we can find in that. I was thinking about this innate sense of I, which is probably a bit more difficult to find.
Difficult to find, did you say?
Kind of more subtle.
Okay.
Which I think I understood from one of your teachings.
What? My teachings?
Yeah.
Don't say that. Don't blame on me. Okay. Yes, ready? Go on.
So the quiet one is the more kind of visible, right? So if it's something maybe I have culturally, I've learned, or you know,
okay,
something which would be kind of more there.
Mm-hmm.
And this innate, I was thinking, how can we relate to that, or more, or how one would, maybe if there is like nothing really coming major, like some shock, or remembering some difficult experience when you felt a strong sense of I, just more like I think acquired, then what would be this innate? It would be this kind of just sense that there's something there, some part of me. I don't know, I just try to.
So what is your main question?
Yeah, how do we...
Okay. So now, I don't want to label at this stage. As I said, this stage I don't want to put into different categories, acquired or innate. Then our minds immediately say, label, oh, this is acquired, this is innate. Before we have through our own experiences, we have some kind of understanding, okay? But it is important, yes. You know, the texts and teachings have said, you know, there are these different different sort of layers of, you know, how we perceive our I. In this early stage, you know, it is better not to have that kind of compartmental, you know, the sort of nature. We like very much put into compartmental, and then saying, tick, okay, I've got now found the acquired self-grasping. Also now I'm close to finding innate self-grasping. When these two are done, what I'm going to do next?
That's right.
Okay, yeah, first root, then rose, yeah.
I wanted to know, the referent object is supposed to be the common sense object.
Okay, common
does
sense.
Does it have temporal continuity?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. When you say common sense object, what do you mean in that, in relation to...
I just meant the referent object. The,
yes.
Forget about the common sense bit. Does the notion of referent object, independent of our perceptions of it, have temporal continuity?
Hmm. Temporal continuity. The referent object here refers to the, you know, that the main object of the mind, which mind is risen based on that object, and that is normally it's called referent object, migul in Tibetan, you know, that object triggers the mind to operation, and that's what here is called referent object, migul, you know, if it is a referent object, not necessarily that thing is exist. That's what I'm have a difficulty when you say continuity. You know, for example, you know, what's called mikyutunama, mirage, seeing mirage. Mirage? Mirage?
Yeah.
Mirage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I meant this with respect to persons.
Okay, if you're talking about that one, that's yeah. fine. But if you're talking about in general,
right.
that's what I'm...
The referent object of
yeah.
persons.
Okay.
The I. The referent
yes.
object of I.
Yes, that's...
It's a person.
So yeah,
I want to know whether that referent object has continuity.
Yes, that's in that context, it's fine.
Right.
But if you're bringing in general...
Yeah. No.
Then I'm struggled.
Yes.
Okay, and Rose?
Well, it's only following on from what Radhik said. When you mentioned, you know, innate or acquired,
mm-hmm.
I thought acquired was to do with philosophical views mm-hmm. of how we acquire. So you said about the different philosophical schools, we'll bring that in tomorrow
mm-hmm.
when we look at the eye.
Mm-hmm.
So then we are looking at the acquired.
Not tonight.
The
not tonight.
Tomorrow. I just wanted to clarify it.
Okay, thank you, Rose. Okay, yeah. Yeah, do you have one thing? Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes?
I have a lot of questions, but just to...
Just have one.
I... A lot of times when this kind of discussion comes up, the discussion of the referent object and all the different, the perceptual theory, Buddhist perceptual theory comes up. And I think it's because, you know, all the different objects
mm-hmm.
and the ones that exist and the ones that don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because it's meant to be a support in our exploration. That's what I assume, but that's not my question. My question is, Geshe-la, whether... There's a practical kind of way into catching this level of kind of parsing out between the referent object and the object of grasping. Because
mm-hmm.
I just think, how am I gonna get at that? How can I see the difference between my referent object and my object of grasping? I mean, what possible chance do I have? But
yes.
I would like to know. Not tonight necessarily.
I mean, if you look at in the other aspect, as I give you an example, you know, the seeing a nice pot and thinking nice,
yeah.
you can easily differentiate. Pot is a referent object. Seeing nice, its feature, its grasping object. In that case, very clear. But in the case of self-grasping of the person, it's a little bit more complicated. And it may not get clear until we see, we understand a little bit, you know, until we get a little bit understanding of emptiness, until that we may not be able to differentiate the referent object and the grasping object. So you need to work for that.
Thank you,
Krishna. Yeah. My explanation will not do anything good. Okay, now we'll get closer to today's activity, and we will end the session, perhaps also today's, and saying the praises to 21 Palas. And
what thing?
Okay.
Gadgets, they do things that I don't understand.
So, Andy, can you kindly chant for us the praises to 21 Palas?
Page 189.
Little bit slowly.
1, 8, 9. But chanting slowly.
Yeah, chanting slowly.
Sorry, last night was too quick.
Little bit quick for me to follow, because my English reading is very slow, as you know. By the way, you know, in German they chant, and when I go to Graz late retreat in August, they chant in German. Somehow it's beautiful. Because I was told the German language is very boom, 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 like that. And it was a similar tune, not exactly the same, but I'm not saying English is not nice. I shouldn't say that, because it is my host country. So anyway, sorry. Yes, Andy.
Shall we begin with the invocation?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so please relate me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
From your sublime abode at the Patala, O Tara, born from the green letter time, your crown adorned with Amitabha, Action Mother of the Buddhas of the Three Times, Tara, please come with your attendants. The gods and demigods bow to your lotus feet, O Tara. You who rescue all who are destitute, to you, Mother Tara, I pay homage. O my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator, homage Tara, swift heroic, as like lightning instantaneous, from opening statements of the Lord of Three Worlds, Stillborn Lotus, homage whose face combines a hundred autumn moons at fullest, blazing with light, rays resplendent as a thousand star collection. Homage, golden blue one lotus, water born in hand adorned, giving effort, calm, austerity, patience, meditation, her skill. Homage, shrine of Tathagata, actions triumph without limit, relied on by conqueror's children, having reached every perfection. Homage, filling with Tutare, whom desire direction and space, trampling with her feet the seven worlds, able to draw forth all beings. Homage worshipped by the All Lords, Chakra, Agni, Brahma, Marut, honored by the hosts of spirits, Gopraises, Gandhavas, Yakshas. Homage with her trumpet sounds, destroying false magic diagrams, her feet pressing left and right in, blazing in the raging fireplace. Homage to a very dreadful destroyer of Mara's champions. She with running lotus visits,
Suicide of all enemies, homage at the heart of fingers, adorn her with ritual mudra, light ray masses all excited, all directions wheels adorn her, homage she's a joyous radiant, crown emitting garlands of light, mirthful laughing with Tutare, subjugating Juarez Devas, homage she able to summon all Earth Guardians assembly, shaking, frowning with her home sign, saving from every misfortune, homage crown adorned with crescent, moon all ornaments most shining, Amitabha in her henon, sending out much light eternal, homage she mid wreath ablaze like, eon ending fire abiding, right stretch left when joy surrounds you, troops or enemies destroying, homage she who strikes the ground with her palm and with her foot beats it, starting with a letter hunger, seven levels she does conquer, homage happy, virtuous, peaceful, she whose field is peace nirvana, she endowed with omen so hard, destroyer of the great evil, homage she with joy surrounded, tearing first bodies asunder, pleasing home and knowledge mantra, arrangement of the ten letters, homage to ring with sweet letter, of the shape of syllable, by foot stamping shakes the three worlds, Meru, Mandara, and Vindhya, homage holding in the hand the hallowed man of Deva Lakeful, with joy spoken Tara and Pei, totally dispelling poison, homage she whom gods and their kings and the king are to honor, hammered in all joyful splendor, she dispels bad dreams and conflicts. Homage she whose two eyes bright with radiance of sun and full moon, with twice Hara and Tutare, she dispels severe contagion. Homage full of liberating power, the set of three natures, destroys hosts of spirits, yakshas, and raised corpses supreme Ture. These praises with the rude mantras and prostrations, that's our 21.
Oh, yeah. Dedication.
36.
Chanjo Sancho
Yeah.
Lama Tsongkhapa's prayer, which page are they? 17.